Abby.
I apologize this morning. I didn't get an email. I'm worship leader. And I normally do it first service. It's the first time in the second service. So if I skip something, somebody let me know, please. Especially the choir. We don't have choir in the first service. So if I miss something, one of y'all just hit me in the back of the head. Welcome to Jenkins this morning. First of all, do we have any visitors? No visitors this morning. The announcements in your bulletin, which I just opened up. I do know that I just talked to Susan on the 23rd of this month. There's a golf tournament. Golf for Grace Works. If any of you would like to sign up, please see Susan. Or Tina. There's a phone number for you. CPW meeting Tuesday this week, 7 p.m. And on Wednesday, have a children's Christmas play practice.
Jim,
yes, ma'am.
Kids' surprise night at 5 o'clock. We're going to be doing the shoeboxes. So I think everybody's got a list of what items they can bring. What they bring. But I've got several shoeboxes, but I don't know. So
if somebody
does
make shoe boxes, they'd like to bring about 4 5 o'clock, I'd appreciate it. Okay.
Even if they don't get used by someone who
doesn't
have extra shoe boxes,
they
might donate money
to go to
the shoe.
Okay. We need shoe boxes and items. Are there any other announcements, maybe?
What?
Hands bells.
They probably will have practices on Sunday, 3 o'clock.
Okay. Larry?
The session will not meet next Sunday, though it says the session meeting October the 8th. The session will not meet next Sunday. Also, I think the newsletter went out and had an announcement concerning men's breakfast. Men's breakfast, or men's fellowship, which is a breakfast meeting, will not meet in October.
Okay.
There's another event in the city the same morning that we need to support.
What event is that?
Lions Club Pancake Breakfast.
Oh, okay. Yes.
also, we mentioned up that last week, we intend to promote this, that the community choir is going to perform a Christmas cantata here on December 17th, two performances, and our choir is joining, that will be our Jenkins cantata presentation for Christmas too. Everybody welcome to participate. We just need to know the numbers so we can get the books and the CDs that you can practice on your own. There'll be a few joint practices, but it should be wonderful. So anybody who wants to participate, please let us know.
And that's December the 17th. Okay, and regular choir practice is at 5:30 and youth meeting at 5 o'clock. Are there any other announcements? Okay, it's time for prayer, praise request. Yes, sir, Mike.
Jim, I have two. And I asked a few weeks ago that you prayed for a friend of mine's girlfriend, Jerry Lomadu, Geraldine is her given name. I cannot spell her last name. It starts with LH and whatever, and I don't have it with me this morning. But just remember that family. Jerry passed away a week ago today of cancer. 60 years old, and please pray for her family. She left behind her companion, my friend Roger Brown. They were together 14 years, and two grown sons. And then I will ask you to pray for the family of Rachel Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. Her son and I have been friends forever, and she passed away and was buried yesterday. So would you please remember those families?
Okay. Geraldine Lomadu and Rachel Sutton. Are there any others?
I have a friend.
Yes.
We have got a new house last week. My son has had this wonderful housewarming event to the name of the party. Thank you so much. And we've got so many gifts. It's wonderful. Beautiful gifts. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And
your new home.
We are leaving tomorrow in the morning. We're flying through Atlanta to Moscow. And anyway, I decided yesterday to run a few words. So I'm not so bored during the traveling. So if you pray, please go to
okay. All right. Is there any others? I'm sorry.
Two. Van Lynch, who has been on our prayer list and in our minds for probably several months. You remember her husband, Jerry, they think he jumped off the bridge into the Mississippi River. They've never recovered his body. But she had a liver transplant about a month ago, Larry, and she's not well. She's back in the hospital. They put her in ICU. And so just pray for Van Lynch again. And a good friend of mine from the Tuscan Church, Lenny Wall, is going in Tuesday for an upper GI. They think he may have a bleeding ulcer. So Lenny Wall.
Okay, and I'd also like to throw in Chad Tomlin, employee of mine, came home from Shepherd Rehab Center in Atlanta. He's paralyzed from the chest down, but he's happy to be home, good spirits, and I ask you to keep him in your prayers, 26 years old. Chad Tomlin, I believe he's listed in the prayer request under Russ Dornan's name. Russ worked with me too, and they're friends. I believe.
I'd like to thank all of you that have expressed your condolences. We lost my father-in-law this week, and the burial and funeral went very well. Grandma's doing well. People have asked what they can do for me and my family, and pray for us. And if you get a spare moment in the next week, go by and visit Grandma. She lives behind us. If you follow our driveway around our house and just keep going, you'll wind up at Grandma's. But she's doing beautifully, but I think the hard time is yet to come for her. And that's what Steve and I would appreciate you doing more than anything, because we're doing fine. And just pray that that God gives us the wisdom and the patience to deal with what we have to deal with, because he's an only child, and it's a tremendous responsibility. But he's hanging in there.
Thank you, Julie.
If you need to go to the service, the memorial service, I just want to tell you that her testimony was the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. And my husband and I both were so touched by that. It was just wonderful.
physical memories that she shared, but her most of all, the way that she came to my life, it was just amazing. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Are there any others? If you would, please bow for a moment of silent prayer as we get ready for service today. Amen. Turn in your hymnal to 509. Call to worship this morning. It is responsive. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God.
He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he.
The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock of my Savior. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. If you would, open your hymnals to number 506.
Standing as we sing.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made it free. I will tell no wondrous story.
sing it now.
Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. Pay the debt.
Bow with me for prayer, please. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, and we come standing before you in awe, O God, an awesome God, that you did an awesome thing for us. You gave your Son to redeem us from sin and hell, from an eternity of separation from you, and into fellowship with you throughout eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a loving God, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for showing that love in such a marvelous way. And Lord, we know that you came while we were yet sinners, even unlovable. But you loved us anyway, and you still love us. And we thank you, we praise you, we come to glorify you. We come to sing about redemption through Jesus. We come, O Lord, to remember again Jesus on the cross, giving his body and his blood for our salvation and to provide for us eternal life. Thank you, praise you, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and let's state in words what we believe the Apostles' Creed. It's on the screen to my left.
Verse 7:16 in your hymnal.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Thank you. You may be seated. Confessing our sin this morning, our call to confession is from Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our prayer of confession is in unison. If you would, say it with me. Gracious God,
our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear,
and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us apart from the past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. If you would, turn in your hymns to number 512, please.
Sing verses 1 and 4. The scripture that goes along with this is, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And that first line, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I do wonder, and I'm sure we all do, how he could love me that much. 1 and 4.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene,
and wonder
how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, oh, wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden in Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
That was actually a Melanie solo with choir accompaniment.
Sorry about that little mix-up. I almost jumped in front of the choir, and we would have missed that. That's why we don't have very much live television anymore. It's now time for children's time. I don't think... Okay.
Wait a minute, I'm going to be me. Thank you. That's such a sweet time that we missed in the first service. Okay, now the time for presentation of our tithes and offering. Would our ushers come forward, please?
Thank you.
That's all right. I'll do it. I'll do it.
I will do it.
Come and read it.
You know, sometimes it's good when things aren't so ritualistic and folks aren't always prepared. It just lets you know that we're human and that I needed to be up here too. Not to be in the limelight, but just to serve. So if you'll listen and if you'll read along with me, or at least look along with me, I should say. Scripture today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 29. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Choir,
I have some. I've never been on radio to preach, except maybe a morning devotional. I even think I made the statement on the morning devotional in one's community that I felt that radio preachers hindered church attendance, and shortly thereafter, the radio station took the morning devotional off of the radio. I felt a little guilty about that because it might have been beneficial for some. I thought people maybe misused it, and I just said that in my meditation that morning. And anyhow, then I wondered, okay, I read where a preacher, a newsletter article concerning a worship service that was broadcast on radio, and they can't have any quiet time. They've got to have something going on all the time on radio, or somebody will turn to that station and it'll be quiet time and they'll think it's nothing there, they're not on the station, and they move on. So you can't have silent prayer time, I guess, when you have a radio program. That's my understanding. And then I wondered how these churches that are on TV, everything goes, no mistakes, or so it seems. And I learned, read a book about Garden Grove Community Church, Robert Shuler, and the group of them meet on Saturday night, and they practice everything. Everything is planned the way it will happen for the next Sunday. And sometimes I kind of wish we could do that, and then sometimes we make mistakes, we are human, and God blesses us and gets us through it. First thing, today is World Communion Sunday. Let me back up and say something else.
Allie MacArthur will receive the sacrament of baptism at 2 o'clock this afternoon, which is the same time they unveil the plaque at Sunset Park. But Allie MacArthur will receive the sacrament of baptism 2 o'clock this afternoon. I guess we'll call it the baptismal hole at the corner of Clover Cross and Burkhalla. Corner of Clover Cross and Burkhalla. And we'll be there at 2 o'clock this afternoon and administer the sacrament of baptism to Allie. She's made her profession of faith privately. Her uncle has led her through it. Then we led her, Susan, well, I guess her mother and I took her through a presentation of the gospel. And then at the end of it, we learned that she had made her profession in the presence of her minister uncle. And then we planned for her baptism, and that's this afternoon. Last Wednesday night, in the Wednesday night service, Paige Pierce came for baptism, and we talked to her concerning her faith in Jesus, her trust in Him, and she expressed it, and so we administered the baptism to her on Wednesday night. So, if you wonder what's happening on Wednesday night, we're not just meeting and clapping our hands a little bit. There's some good things happening there too. Young people, it's oriented towards the young people, but a lot of adults are here, and over half the congregation, I guess. But some lives are being touched, and we're not all perfect. Every life is not going in the direction that we want it to with the young people or the adults either, I don't guess, are we? And if we are, if everybody's going in the right direction, we need to write an article about that or do something about that, didn't you? So, but today is World Communion Sunday. It's been going on since 1936. The Presbyterians started this, those other Presbyterians, and somewhere along the way we joined with them. Some of our churches did, and not every church would participate in World Communion Sunday, but we do. It used to be called Worldwide Communion Sunday. In 1936, the Presbyterians started it and got a number of churches to commit to observing the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on that particular Sunday, kind of publicized it. The federal or the Federated Council of Churches picked it up in 1940 and promoted it throughout the denominations under their are included in their membership, and that became the National Council of Churches a few years later, which got a bad name in the 60s and may still have in some people's mind, but there's some good that comes out of there also. Since 1936, we've had what we know is the Worldwide or World Communion Sunday. Somebody's figured out if, based on the time changes and the worship times of churches, etc., even if all of them met at 11 o'clock like it used to be. We all grew up at 11 o'clock worship service, didn't we? Yeah, most of us. It had to be through before noon to beat the Baptists to the restaurants, right? Or whatever. That was who all we thought we was beating, because they would preach a little longer than we did most of the time. And I tried to make us go last, because you usually get more if you go last. But whatever. 24-hour period of time, all day long, some group would be celebrating for a 24-hour period the sacrament of Holy Communion throughout the world. Or that could happen. Okay. One of my early memories concerning communion, and I have some precious memories from my early days, and then maybe not so precious, but I always had to be so quiet. And then all the churches where I attended, they put a cloth on top and a cloth on bottom, and those elders always got the bottom cloth and almost turned the communion tray over. Did you ever see that happen? I never saw it happen, but it came close a few times. And so finally somebody said, let's get some covers for the trays and we don't have to put the cloth over there. Or somebody practiced that. And so that took away that worry, that anticipation, that is he going to remove all the elements from the table by picking up the bottom cloth too? And those elders, they were usually farmers that I grew up with, and they didn't know much about folding tablecloths either. And so, but there's some beautiful moments. One of the beautiful moments from my early days of observing communion or participating is Reverend S.T. Byers. At the close of every service, or as I remember, or often, maybe it wasn't every time, but I remember him saying, and I believe it was more than once at least, is his prayer at the end, at the close of the communion service. Serve the elements, the tablecloth would be placed back over the elements, and he would pray, "Lord, if we've made any mistakes in serving this meal or this supper or these elements, please forgive us. If we've done anything wrong, we pray your forgiveness." And I guess most every time, maybe not every time, but most every time as I conclude the service, and a few times I've expressed it aloud to the congregation, but really this is really between me and God. And I say, "Lord, if we've done anything wrong, forgive us. We may do some things wrong. We know that wrong action can come about in the communion service. It happened in Bible times. It happened in Corinth." And that's what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. To correct some of the wrongs that had been taking place in the communion service. Now we read from chapter 11, verse 17 and following. And he said he had just heard about and some wrongs taking place. And he says, "I tend to believe it." Or, I can believe it. But he didn't say, you know, for sure. Or in that verse there, did I get here? Did I mark that one? "And to some extent, I believe it." Then he goes on to say, "No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which ones of you have God's approval, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval." So it's kind of something I guess we expect, or he seemed to expect some wrong, and to show that God approved some and God did not approve others, but don't want to get too deep in that. But back in chapter 10, verse 16, Paul asked the question. He's talking about eating and drinking and not offending our brother, I believe it is. He says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ?" And that's a question, but the logical answer as I see it, sometimes I don't see things like they ought to be, but as I see it, as I understand it, he is saying that, yes, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ. And the logical answer to me would be, sure it is. We're participating in the blood of Christ when we drink of the cup of thanksgiving. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? And the answer to me, at least, I believe it's the right answer, is yes it is. Yes it is. But then in chapter 11, and it's verse 20, he says, "When you come together, it is not," it's a statement, the "is" and the "it" is switched, "it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat." In other words, they were at meeting and they were professing to eat the Lord's Supper, participate in the death, sacrifice of Jesus and of God as He sent His Son, but they were not doing it correctly. So the manner in which they were observing, the manner was not respectful of Christ or of the church. Brother Byers, that was the preacher that I remember when I was 10, 11, and 12 years old. And incidentally, I may have said this before, but hear it again. He may be the reason. He is one of the great influences in my life that help me, well, help me to get saved. It's under his wife's influence, really, I first professed my faith in Jesus Christ. It was no more than raising my hand in a small group of kids, or teenagers, almost teenagers, praying together before a revival service under a tree in the churchyard. We only had one room in the church. And it was raising my hand to say, was she watching? I guess she was, Ms. Byers. God was watching. And so my first profession was to just raise my hand. And Brother Byers' wife was the Bible leader, or the youth leader, in that meeting. Brother Byers wanted to be respectful of the Lord's table and of the Lord's sacrifice. And I want to be respectful. I want to do it right, not that I always have. Let's look at the meaning of the symbols. We've been over this, but let's do it again. The bread. The bread represents. Now, one church says that the bread, after it's blessed, becomes the body and blood of Jesus. Another says it really don't become, but it kind of becomes. There's two big words. One is transubstantiation, and I'm not sure that you can spell it. No, I'm not sure that I can spell it without looking. And the other is consubstantiation, and I won't even tell you what churches promote these or hold to this belief. But most of the churches of the Reformed tradition says that the bread always remains bread. That's all it ever remains. But it represents the broken body of Jesus, broken for us. And the fruit of the vine, whatever it be it grape juice, be it fermented grape juice, could it be blackberry juice? Fruit of the vine. It always remains fruit of the vine. It never becomes blood. But it represents the blood of Jesus. Blood shed for us for the remission of sin and remission of our sin if we have trusted in it. So, the bread, the body of Christ, broken for us, the fruit of the vine, the blood of Christ shed for us. But it represents these. Jesus told the 12 when he instituted the supper on the night of his betrayal that that's what it was. This is my body, he said. And he used the word is. Now, I don't know how much we've lost in translation through the languages and through the years. This is my body. This is my blood. We understand that he was saying he was breaking bread. It said he took bread and said, this is. This took the cup. This is. The following day, after that institution of that supper, out of his love for the people of the world, or because he loved you and because he loved me, because he loved you, think of that. You, because he loved me, he died. The Bible tells us that in his dying, Jesus assumed the burden for our sins. He took our sins upon himself, and he claimed them as his own. Just like he had done them. Just like he had committed them. He assumed the penalty for our sin. Do we have any Superman fans in here? One movie about Superman is shows his arch enemy causing a earthquake in the of California fault. Lex Luthor launches a missile, and explodes near one of the faults in California, the fault zone. You know, we always hear about
California's going to fall off in the ocean, or a portion of it is, or I hear it often. So he let his missile loose and exploded there, and it was a great earthquake. And there was a great turmoil over a wide expanse of territory. Superman is flying over the area, and he sees what has happened. And one of the things that the earthquake did was caused a 5-foot section of a railroad track to be mangled, or the track of the railroad to be mangled. And the train couldn't get over it. It would cause a crash. And the train was coming, and the train was full of people. And what to do? Superman couldn't stop it. Too late to stop the train. But in his magic moment, he flew to the track and stretched himself from one end of the rail to the broken rail and connected. He laid himself out, if you will, or he stretched himself out, and the train was able to go over the damaged part of track, and the people were saved from a bad wreck. Now, Richard Fairchild says this is somewhat like what Jesus did, though Jesus did a lot more. Superman is a mythical character, right? Or at least a character of fiction. Anybody ever met him in his real? Don't believe he's real. Never thought he was. But Jesus, history reports Jesus. And Jesus allowed himself to be stretched out on a cross. And then raised, the cross raised up. Dropped into a hole and performed an act of salvation, not just for a trainload of people, but for all of mankind, if they would claim him. I'm quick to ask if they would claim him. He doesn't force himself on anybody. Jesus stretched out his body to save us on a cross. And the difference between Superman, that's just a good illustration, but it only goes so far. Superman could only save, even in the fiction story, a few people. Jesus saved many. Jesus being one of us, one with us. He lived and breathed and laughed and cried in a real place and in a real time. And he suffered and he died, that we might be saved from sin. And that's what we remember. In the sacrament of Holy Communion. In September, incidentally, I plan to be gone today, and my wife planned one weekend to be gone, and I planned another weekend. She said the first weekend of October, and I thought it was this weekend, and she thought it was next weekend. So, you see, we stayed here this weekend and plan to be gone next weekend. But in September, I used some thoughts that if I knew I was going to be here this weekend, I'd have probably saved till then. So let me repeat quickly. Communion is, and it's what Ewell K. Reagan wrote in 1931 in a book, What Cumberland Presbyterians Believe. It's a memorial to our Savior. We remember Jesus, and we remember what He did for us on Calvary through the communion service. It's a testimony. Jesus, Paul said, as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you show His death, the death of Jesus, till He comes. So we are proclaiming, we're showing forth. It's a confession. We confess that we have faith in this Jesus, and we have faith that He is coming again to claim us for heaven. It's a bond of union between Christians.
We have something in common. We both eat and drink from the same table. And we have something in common with those who have come before us. They call it the communion of saints. Those who have gone before us, we have something in common for those who will come after. And we have a bond with each other here. But we have a bond with our neighbors down the street and wherever else they are. We come to a common, common table. And then the Lord's Supper is a silent sermon, telling the world that Christ died and that we have chosen to follow Him. For as the song goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. In the same book, What Covenant Presbyterians Believe, from 1931, updated through the years, and a new printing has been printed recently. In his book about the sacrament of Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, Dr. Reagan writes about children. I've had my concerns about children, and others have their concerns about children and the Lord's Supper. Dr. Reagan contends that the parents should make the decision about their children, especially the children who have not made a public profession of faith. And I even heard a preacher this morning even downplaying or criticizing what we would call a profession of faith. He was harping on, I took it as harping on, it had to be different, or it had to be his way. And then he went on to explain what a conversion experience was. But I'm totally in agreement with the conversion experience. But my conversion experience may not be like Bill's conversion experience. My conversion experience may not be like I've gone blank. Looked at you and gone blank. Mr. Liepert, John. Forgot your name, John. Looking at you, eyeball to eyeball. Or John back there. We can have different experiences. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And those children that have not publicly professed their faith, what about them? And I admit, I don't have a definitive answer, and I've said to the parents, or tried to say to the parents, you make the decision. At one time, we were in a church where a lot of children were coming to church, and the parents were not coming, and we were going to serve communion, and it was on the table, and the little girl, I remember, came to me and said to me, Brother Guin, can we take communion? And I said, do you believe in Jesus? And they said they did. Well, I had no other answer to give them. It's okay with me. I had to make that decision for them. Dr. Reagan suggests that the parents can use the sacrament to teach their children about Jesus. But in 1966, the General Assembly said that the children who have not made a profession of faith in Jesus should not participate. Now, they didn't say what kind of profession of faith. I think they were referring to coming forward in the worship service before a congregation of God's people and making a profession of faith and uniting with the church. That's what I assume. But then, I never felt like telling a child that he could not or she could not participate in an experience of the church. I guess I kind of forgot that 1966 decision and let that one get on the bottom of my sheets of paper or something, and knew it was there, but still left it up to the parents. I still leave it up to the children's parents. But I cannot deny a child who has learned about Jesus and can understand that Jesus died for them. I cannot deny them the privilege of eating from His table. Two things that Jesus said. I keep remembering that the disciples tried to keep children away. Some mothers wanted Jesus to touch their children. And the disciples said, no, He don't have time for you, or something like that. They said, they rebuked them and asked them to go away. And Jesus overheard, or somehow He knew, that the children and their mothers were there. We don't know how old these children were either. But he says, allow or suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. And that word influences my practice. And then in Mark, as you read that experience, unless we become as children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I think that means a trusting faith without the big questions that us adults have. I still think it's the parents' opportunity to teach. And if I have, anywhere I have done anything wrong in serving communion, that's one place I certainly don't want to do anything wrong. But it's up to parents. We don't have any children present this morning. What happened there? First time in one. She got here late. We had a children. You want to do the children's story for? We had a children's story, dear. I don't think that's happened in 19 years. Almost 19 years. 1 month short of 19 years. And we've always had some children, I believe. And thank you for coming in. We didn't want to be childless this morning, okay? But thank you. But that's where I stand. Now, there's also this worthy or unworthily. Have I come to the communion table in an unworthy? Well, every time I come to the communion table, I'm unworthy. No one is worthy, as I understand it, to stand before God. But the word is, in an unworthy manner. And Dr., I go back to some of our teachings of the years ago. Dr. Thomas H. Campbell came and served communion for the Baseball congregation when I was preaching there and I wasn't yet ordained. And his sermon, one Sunday at least, was the difference between unworthy and unworthily. Or in unworthily being in an unworthy manner. If you read 17 through 22... 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 through 22, you can see this unworthy manner that they were coming in. They were coming in having, what, a drunken brawl, sounds like, a party of some kind. And if they got there early, they were eating it all up, and those that had to work late couldn't get there till late or were out of town and just kind of got there a little late. All the food was gone. And Jesus said, this is not to come and feed yourself. This is to remember the Lord's death. So, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So none of us are worthy if we have sinned. But we can come respectful of the table, respectful of Jesus, respectful of God the Father, and respectful of each other. We can come thankful. We can come humbly. You know, the proud heart, that's what we don't need at the table. And I'm not sure I haven't come sometime proud, and I don't want to. And I've gone to some church meetings where communion would be served, and sometimes I'm not sure I was in the state of mind if we even used to serve it a lot at Presbytery meetings, especially when we were in Arkansas. And so why we quit, whoever planned the service. But sometimes we'd be doing the business of the church and stop at 11 o'clock and preach a sermon, and which is good, I'm for this, and serve communion. But I'm not sure that I could get my thoughts where they should have been then. So I'm saying, I'm confessing that I've probably become in an unworthy manner or with an unworthy attitude. William Barclay says concerning this, if I can find a note that Barclay wrote. And I think sums it up concerning the worthy or the unworthy. Still up to you parents concerning the children. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them that it is representative of Jesus. And you make the decision. But we must be quite clear about one thing of this worthy or unworthy. The phrase which forbids a man to eat and drink unworthily does not shut out the man who is a sinner, and he knows it to be so. An old Highland minister, seeing an old woman hesitate to receive the cup, stretched it out to her, saying, "Take it, woman. It's for sinners. It's for you." He continues, "If the table of Christ were only for perfect people, none might ever approach it. The approach is never closed to the penitent sinner, to the man who loves God and loves his fellow man. The way is ever open, and his sins, though they be as scarlet, shall be white as snow." I want us to sing together two verses, the first two verses of When I Survey. And the cross is before you here. And it's a real shiny, smooth cross. But think of it, if you can, as being the old rugged cross that a person could be nailed to, stretched out upon. And let's sing the first two verses of When I Survey. Then I'll read. Keep your Bible open, I mean your psalm book open, and I want to read the second and the third verse. Verses C, from his head, from his hands, from his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Are thorns composed so rich a crown? Then were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What active elders are present this morning? One, two, three. Would you come and assist? And then four. And then two more. Sam helped in the first service. John, would you come and assist in this service? Mary Beth, would you come and assist? The words of institution that we would normally read at this place were the scripture lesson for today, so you have heard them, and heard them expounded upon somewhat. The invitation, we've talked about that. All who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and all who can know that Jesus is the Savior and they trust in Him, you're invited to eat and drink from His table. As a remembrance, as a proclamation, as your bond to other Christians. Let us pray. Lord God, we remember that Jesus took the bread and broke it and told us it was His body, broken for us. And we thank You today that He would give His body to be broken, to pay for our sins, taking our sin in His body upon a tree on Calvary. We thank You for Your love to us. Lord, we pray that You would bless this bread. We know that it remains bread, but let it be for us a remembrance that would nourish us spiritually through Jesus Christ. The body of Christ broken for you. The cup representing the blood of Christ shed for us. Lord God, bless this cup. We know that it never becomes actual blood, but we know the important thing is what it represents. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus would shed His blood, and that through our trust in Him, our sins are forgiven, removed, remitted, taken away. Thank you, through Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. If you're served, just please remember the body and the blood of Christ. Bless you. And Lord God, I pray now, if we have done anything wrong, or it's not in keeping with your desire for our observance, we pray for forgiveness. If we have taught anything that's wrong, oh Lord, we pray that you will correct us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome God, number 245, and it's in the Renew Hymnal, Our God is an Awesome God. He's done an awesome thing for us, and we stand in awe before Him. 245, let's sing together. Elders, you may go to the pew. Awesome God,
our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above the sea.
Clock, corner of Clover Cross and Burke Hall. If you'd like to give support and encouragement to Allie, Lord, send us forth sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen.